This is the Physical Activity Researcher Podcast, a podcast for researchers of sedentary behavior, physical activity, and sports. Join for a relaxed dialogue about research design, practicalities, and, well, anything related to research. Learn from your fellow researchers useful and relevant information that does not fit into formal content and limited space of scientific publications. And here is your host, researcher and entrepreneur, Ollie Tikkanen.
Welcome, everyone. In this episode, I wanted to get into heart rate variability. I want to show the articles we have created to our website about heart rate variability. I will go through the basics of heart rate variability. Many of you probably know the basics, but let's cover the basics. Not maybe all the people know how good measure the heart rate variability is actually, and what is it telling. And then we will look into easy ways of measuring heart rate variability and give an idea what kind of applications heart rate variability can be valuable. And if I show from our website, if you go to web.fibian.com and then you click resources, articles, you will find there a selection of heart rate variability, and there we have several articles, actually more than a dozen articles about heart rate variability. And what I'm looking now is a comprehensive guide for heart rate variability that we have written, and it has the introduction, the science behind, the historical perspective, how heart rate variability is measured. Then there is some different applications of, and basically heart rate variability is the measurement between the heartbeats. So if you have a full ECG curve and you have the R peak there, it's the time between those two R peaks. So we define it as closely as possible where the R peak is, and then we measure the time to the next R peak. So this is basically the distance on the curve between two R peaks. And heart rate variability, our heart is not beating like a metronome, but there is variability between the beats. So for example, you could have like the distance between two peaks could be 826 milliseconds. With the next one, it could be 792, then it could be 850, and so on. So it's varying, and basically this variability is based on the influence of autonomic nervous system. So there is a parasympathetic nervous system influencing to lower the heart rate and increase the variability. So it's kind of rest and digest part of our autonomic nervous system. And then there is the sympathetic nervous system, which is be described fight or flight branches. That's a little bit radical, but basically you get the idea. The other one is lowering the heart rate, increasing the variability, and the other one is increasing the heart rate and reducing the variability. And these two nervous systems are all the time acting on the heart. And interestingly, we can be measuring this with heart rate variability. And in general, higher heart rate variability generally indicates a robust and flexible autonomic nervous system. And then it's capable of efficiently managing stress and promoting recovery. So when you are measuring heart rate variability in a normal daily life, you would like to see a lot of variability. That tells that the autonomic nervous system is capable of managing stress, and that also the fitness of the person is good. If the heart rate variability is very little variability, so the heart is beating like a metronome, and usually the resting heart rate is higher, that is not a good predictive thing for the person's health. And then if we look into the importance of heart rate variability measurement in health and wellness, there is predictive value of heart rate variability. So like I said, we would like to see a lot of variability. If we don't see it, it is predicting potential health issues. So it is good predictive tool. And when we measure heart rate variability during sleep, it tells about stress and recovery status of the body. So when we are sleeping, we would like to see parasympathetic nervous system dominating. So the body would be resting and recovering. But if we don't get kind of optimal or good parasympathetic response during sleep, it probably tells about stress situation in the body. So this can be used in to gauge stress and different problems in recovery. And usually when people do these measurements and when you ask like how well did they sleep, they are reporting that I don't feel refreshed if we see actually that the heart rate variability has been low during the sleep. And it works also as a wellness or fitness indicator. So high heart rate variability is often associated with good cardiovascular health and overall well-being, while lower heart rate variability can indicate stress or health problems or both. So then if we look how heart rate variability is being measured in the early days especially, you would measure the full ECG curve, and from there you would detect the R peaks and measure the distance between the R peaks, and you would get the heart rate variability. And when you have heart rate variability data file, basically you have just one column of data, and it will just tell the time between the RR peaks. And it's a little bit tricky because normally we usually have the data in certain intervals. For example, you have a data point every second or every minute, but with the heart rate variability, you have just one row for every RR interval. So it's changing because, like we said, the timing between the different heartbeats is different. So the time scale is changing all the time a little bit. So it's difficult to have heart rate variability in the same data file as the other variables. So for example, if you have, let's say, acceleration, you have it with a certain sampling frequency, but with heart rate variability, the sampling frequency is changing with every heartbeat. So sometimes it's confusing when you have the data files, and the easy way is to keep them separate and not trying to combine them. If you need to combine, it gets a little bit tricky, but that can be done with certain methods. And basically the electrocardiograms, they are the gold standard for medical grade heart rate variability. You will get the most accurate when you're actually measuring the electrical activity of the heart with the high sampling frequency. You can detect the RR points very accurately. Then there are wearable devices and other fitness trackers, and then they are usually measuring it from, for example, from the wrist, and you get it pretty accurately, but it's not as accurate as electrocardiogram. And you can also have some mobile apps. There's this many kind of ways, at least trying to measure the heart rate variability. So basically when the heart beats, you can also see that, for example, the color of the veins or the arteries is changing. So you can try to detect it with also light sensors in a way. But if we look what Fibion is offering, for example, heart rate variability measurement, we have the Fibion M-Fit. So it's a bed sensor. So basically it's put on under the mattress, and it uses ballistocardiography to measure the heart rate variability. And And basically, what is ballistocardiography? It's based on Newton's third law. So there is force and a counterforce. So basically, when a person is in a laying position and the heart is beating, there is blood rushing to the artery with every heartbeat. And this causes a force. So there is certain amount of blood. If you are more fit, it's more blood. And the blood is rushing, there is a force. So basically the body starts to sway to the opposite direction. And with the sensitive sensor, we can actually detect this swaying of the body, and we can analyze the heart rate variability. So it's not as accurate as the ECG, but we can actually, with the sensitive sensor, we can get the really good accuracy also for heart rate variability. And the clear advantage of the ballistocardiography is that there's nothing that needs to touch the body. So you only need to insert it under the mattress of the bed, and person is just sleeping in the bed, and we will get the heart rate variability. And you can think about all the applications that you have from this, because then you can get really longitudinal data of heart rate variability. So you can get the nighttime autonomic nervous system activity, the interplay between parasympathetic and sympathetic activity from all the night. So this can give really nice insights how the stress recovery, and if you measure a longer time also, you can get some fitness indications. So for example, the resting heart rate should go down when the aerobic fitness is improving, and the heart rate variability should go up. So you could be measuring this in a, for example, training study, and you could be tracking the changes. You could be tracking, is the training too hard? So you could get the overreaching and overtraining from there, but you could also see the fitness improvements in there, and see how the body responds, how the autonomic nervous system responds to the training. And what we have also another device, which is called Phibian Vitals. So it's a device that comes on the chest. You attach it with the heart rate belt, and it can measure the heart rate variability. And this is very accurate because it's actually measuring the electrical activity of the heart from the skin. So the electrical activity of the heart goes to the skin, and then we can measure it with the heart rate belt. And this is also measuring one lead ECG. So you will get the full curve also with this device. And not going to talk a lot about it, but it also has electrodes to measure the bioimpedance of chest cavity. So you can get the respiration. It has also temperature sensor. It has a 9-axis motion sensor, so a lot of things in the device. If you're interested, check the Phibian Vitals from Phibian website. And getting back to the heart rate variability and the articles we have. And then if we look at different applications, so if we think heart rate variability in cardiovascular health, it is a good indication on certain kind of indicator of cardiac function. So it reflects the heart's efficiency and adaptability. And like said earlier, it has predictive value. So high heart rate variability often indicates good heart health, while low heart rate variability can signal potential cardiac issues. And it can work also as a monitoring tool. So regular heart rate variability monitoring can help in early detection and management of cardiovascular diseases. And if you're interested to look more closely this one, we have a specific article about HRV in cardiology. So you can learn more from that article. And then another application is predicting and managing illnesses. So we can use it as early detection. Heart rate variability can indicate the onset of certain diseases before other symptoms arise. And you can also see like simple flu or colds. For example, it can be useful for athletes if they are, for example, using the BET sensor when they see that there is a change which is not really explained by the training of the previous day or days. You can maybe think that there is something changing in the body, and you usually see 1 to 2 days before you are getting sick that the heart rate variability changes. So it is the beginning of infection that you can see in heart rate variability before you maybe detect anything yourself. And you can use it also for chronic illness management. So you can use it, for example, in heart diseases and diabetes. And we have a specific article of this, heart rate variability and personalized medicine. So if you're interested, you can take a deep dive into the topic with that article. And then if we look heart rate variability and mental well-being, so as said before, heart rate variability is a good stress response indicator. So lower heart rate variability can indicate a heightened stress response or anxiety levels. And you can use this, as we talked about, nighttime measurements. So then it's more controlled situation, because when you're supposed to sleep, you should be laying down and you should be sleeping. So it's kind of controlled situation. So it's easier to interpret the results when you have nighttime data. But you can also use it in a daily measurements. For example, if you measure it in the workplace, you can see that which situations are stressful and which are relaxing. And often we think stress as a negative thing, but for us to do anything, it's a stress response. For example, now I'm doing this episode, so my stress response needs to be higher that I'm actually able to do this and not fall asleep. So we need a certain level of stress response to do any of our work, but we can be measuring that we don't get it too much. And we should get some recovery during the workday. So it can be used both when being awake and when sleeping. And then we can use it also for mental health monitoring. So consistent heart rate variability monitoring can help in identifying patterns related to stress and anxiety. And as it is a good indicator of stress and recovery, you can also use it, for example, if you are measuring it during, for example, mindfulness meditation practices, you can see how well you are able to relax and activate your parasympathetic nervous system. And you can also use it to track progress in this kind of practices. And if we then look heart rate variability in sleep quality and disorders, like we discussed before, good sleep is often linked to higher heart rate variability, indicating restorative body processes during sleep. And if that doesn't happen, there is usually something wrong in the sleeping. It could be the sleep environment, or it could be, for example, the daily stress is too high and you cannot sleep well, or it could be in case of athletes, for example, overreaching state that the body has been stressed too much. And we can see them actually very nicely from nighttime heart rate variability measurements. And also conditions like insomnia, sleep apnea can lead to lower heart rate variability. So it can be used as an indicator, early indicator of those. And if you're interested on this, we have a specific article about heart rate variability in sleep research. And then if we look at the heart rate variability in sports and fitness, so in in athletic training, you can use it for training customization. So athletes can use heart rate variability to tailor their training intensity, ensuring optimal stress and recovery balance. So basically how this would work is that you measure the nighttime heart rate variability. And if you see that you have recovered well during the night, so the heart rate variability is high, your body is probably ready for a harder training session. And you could, for example, do some interval training, vigorous intensity training. And after this, you probably see that your recovery during the night goes down. So it indicates that the training was of high enough intensity and your body needs rest. And when it kind of gets back to normal, you can again do the hard training session. So you can use it to optimize it. It takes some practice, but you can at least see that now it's not yet the time to do the hard training session if the variables look very bad from the previous night. And yeah, like I said, it can be used as a recovery monitoring. It can be used as a performance enhancement. So you can make with the coach informed decisions and enhance overall performance. You could also be measuring it in the daily life and or outside of the training sessions. And the main point of those would be to be more in the recovery, that we don't stress the body too much. For example, for some sports, you have a lot of PR tasks. So those can be preventing the athlete recovering during the training sessions. And if we talk a little bit, you can use in professional sports for individual athlete analysis or team level strategies. And I think this is important if we think about team sports where the team is training together, but you have, for example, different positions. Let's take a football, soccer as an example. The defenders and midfielders and strikers, their fitness needs are different. So the strikers need to be explosive and sprint fast, while the midfielders probably need to be running more all the time. So you can see from the team level data what is the recovery status and also optimized for different positions. So we have covered now the basics of heart rate variability, how it's measured and what kind of applications. If you're interested on these, I would recommend you checking our articles. We have put a lot of time to produce these articles, and glad to hear your feedback. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Thanks for joining us this week on Physical Activity Researcher Podcast. If you like the show, make sure you never miss an episode by subscribing or following the show on Twitter. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. If you found value in the show, we would really appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts or whichever app you're using. Or if you would, in a real old school way, simply tell a friend about the show. It would be a great help for us. We have a fantastic lineup of guests for forthcoming episodes, so be sure to tune in. Thank you all for your support and have a great day.